9. Speech at the grave of Karl Marx. Frederick Engels. On the 14th of March, at 3:15 in the afternoon, the greatest living thinker ceased to think. He had been left alone for scarcely 2 minutes, and when we came back, we found him in his armchair, peacefully gone to sleep, but forever. Such was the man of science, but this was not even half the man. Science was for Marx a historically dynamic, revolutionary force. However great the joy with which he welcomed a new discovery in some theoretical science, whose practical application perhaps, it was as yet quite impossible to envisage. He experienced quite another kind of joy when the discovery involved immediate revolutionary changes in industry and in historical development in general. For example, he followed closely the development of the discoveries made in the field of electricity, and recently those of Marcel Dupré. For Marx was before all else a revolutionist. His real mission in life was to contribute, in one way or another, to the overthrow of capitalist society and of the state institutions which it had brought into being, to contribute to the liberation of the modern proletariat, which he was the first to make conscious of its own position and its needs, conscious of the conditions of its emancipation. Fighting was his element, and he fought with a passion, a tenacity, and a success such as few could rival. His work on the first Rheinische Zeitung, 1842, the Paris Vorwärts, 1844, Brüsseler Deutsche Zeitung, 1847, the Neue Rheinische Zeitung, 1848-1849, the New York Tribune, 1852-1861, and in addition to these, a host of militant pamphlets, work in organizations in Paris, Brussels, and London, and finally, crowning all, the formation of the Great International Working Men's Association. This was indeed an achievement of which its founder might well have been proud, even if he had done nothing else. And consequently, Marx was the best hated and most calumniated man of his time. Governments, both absolutist and republican, deported him from their territories. Bourgeois, whether conservative or ultra-democratic, vied with one another in heaping slanders upon him. All this he brushed aside as though it were cobweb, ignoring it, answering only when extreme necessity compelled him, and he died beloved, revered and mourned by millions of revolutionary fellow workers, from the mines of Siberia to California, in all parts of Europe and America, and I make bold to say that though he may have had many opponents, he had hardly one personal enemy. His name will endure through the ages, and so also will his work.